Hello everybody and welcome to the All Access Ring of Honor podcast. My name is Darren Guthridge and I am not joined by Mr. Hayden Glean tonight. Unfortunately, Hayden was having some technical issues this week, so I am going solo to talk about this episode of the Ring of Honor TV show. But before we dive into that show, of course, this is an All Access show, so I'm here to tell you about all of the great things that come with .NET membership, which you can get for $7.50 a month or $66 for the year. That is all. And for that low price, you get access to every podcast we have ever made, every episode of the Ring of Honor TV show podcast we've made, every .NET Weekly, a flagship show, every review of every American TV wrestling show that there is every week is there for you. And there's interviews as well that you can dive back into in the archives. You also get ad-free access to the website, access to the members forum, and so much more besides. It's a great service. As I always say when I'm on the free side of things, I was a member before I joined ProWrestling.net as a staffer, which incidentally was 4 years ago today. So happy anniversary to me. But yeah, I cannot stress enough how great this membership is. It's one of the best ones out there for your wrestling podcast needs. That alone is worth the price of admission, but then you also get ad-free access to the website, and nobody likes adverts. I think if we're going to agree on something this evening, it is that nobody likes internet adverts. What we do like is diversity, and I'm here to talk about that tonight, because this episode of the Ring of Honor TV show was a special, because they have a two-week hole in their schedule where they have no TV tapings ready to go. So they're putting on two specials. Now, that usually means best of mode. And that's what we're getting next week. It's episode 250 of Ring of Honor TV. And instead of booking, you know, a big first run event with a big main event, they're putting on a best of show. That's annoying. But with episode 249, they actually did something very, very interesting that has been long overdue. As me and Hayden mention every week, Ring of Honor is a sausage fest. It has been since the date launched until right up until now. It's a sausage fest. There is an overabundance of men on that roster. It is almost purely men, other than the occasional valet that comes out with the men. That's annoying. And what's even more gratuitous is that Ring of Honor do have a women's roster. It's not really as fixed as, you know, the TNA and the WWE female roster, but it is there. But they're almost always exclusively on house shows. They have the likes of Vader Scott, Taylor Hendricks, ODB, so on and so forth on their house show touring schedule, but yet they never bothered to put them on TV. We've heard for a while that there was a push coming for the Women of Honor. They have their own brand, they have their own logo, they have their own t-shirt, which was plugged to us on ROH TV. They were trying to sell you a t-shirt for women you've never seen wrestle on ROH TV. That idiocy aside, it was about damn time we got some TV exposure for these ladies. And although it means it's come with clips, I presume, from previous episodes, maybe mashed together, or maybe just one show they put on, I'm not really clear on that. But we had an entire hour dedicated to the Women of Honor. If I could have any song playing right now, it would be the Hallelujah Chorus, because it's only taken them 249 episodes, but they got there in the end. And hopefully this is the start of something really exciting, a new phase of Ring of Honor, with a lot more emphasis on the Women of Honor roster. So, let's just dive into the show now. I will say, as much as I'm glad we had this episode, and I champion what it is trying to do, this wasn't exactly a stellar episode of Ring of Honor, unfortunately. Plus points and negatives all the way through, but ultimately, if this was just a standard episode of Ring of Honor and it wasn't the special case of it's all women and the women were more regularly seen in matches on normal ROH TV, this might be a bit of a disappointing episode. So we're kind of grading on a scale here. That's what I'm going to try and preface this all with. The show opened up with a voiceover and a package saying that you can still order the Best in the World pay-per-view from last week. It's available for iPay-per-view. You can go order it from the Ring of Honor website. And I thought to myself, maybe this is why they have these gaps in the TV schedule, in that they make most of their money off the iPay-per-view. So if they have 2 weeks without first-run Ring of Honor shows, it might encourage a few people, a few latent people that didn't buy the pay-per-view to say, I want my wrestling fix, I'm going to buy the iPay-per-view. That's a little bit of a suicidal tactic in my book, and I don't know if that's what they actually do, but it made sense to me internally. Then we had the titles, and a new voice introduced us to the show. His name is Ian Riccoboni? Something like that. Yeah, it wasn't Kevin Kelly, that's what I'm trying to drive at, and he welcomed us to this hour-long special on the Women of Honor roster. He was joined by Nigel McGuinness on commentary. There's some things that even we can't run from. Even on a Women of Honor show, we can't escape Nigel McGuinness, unfortunately. They showed the Women of Honor logo on the screen, where the ROH logo usually is. The sides of the ring are still the Ring of Honor logo, but the Women of Honor logo was there, and we had our first match, which was a six-woman tag match. The first team coming out was led by familiar face Vader Scott, as well as Allison Kay. I'm afraid I don't know much about her. First time I've ever seen her. And Amber Gallows, who is the wife of Luke Gallows. She's known as the Bullet Babe. And at some point, Ian... I'm really have to learn how to say his name. Ian Riccoboni said that she's the only female member of the Bullet Club. So that's cool. And they were taking on the team of Sumsi Saki from the Jersey Shore of Japan. I was like, oh, don't ruin Japan like that. And she was joined by Thunder Kitty, who was like a throwback strong woman type of character, and Crazy Mary Dobson, who has appeared a few times on NXT. I believe she's called Sarah Dobson on there. Yeah, so a slightly more familiar face thrown in with these, well, four women who I have no clue who they are and what they bring in the ring. So this led into her first match of the night, and unfortunately I was very hyped up. I said, right, here we go, ladies, let's put the strongest foot first. Let's really show... I was hoping they would really show why they deserve to be on Ring of Honor TV a lot more regularly than they are. Unfortunately, this wasn't the banner match it perhaps could have been, or should have been, considering this, most people's, the vast majority of people, this was their first exposure to this roster. And unfortunately, it was kind of a sloppy match. There was a very awkward Terror of Doom spot in there at one point that was really stilted. And in fact, if you go and read my Ring of Honor hit list, that's the word I use to describe this match, is stilted. It felt very slow and very... It felt like it had been pieced together, but that there was no smooth transitions here. It all felt a little bit awkward all the way through. The finish came when Dobson looked to be putting away... I think it was Allison Kay. She was trying to put her away with a split-legged moonsault. She hit the split-legged moonsault, but the pin was broken up. And then Crazy Mary Dobson was triple-teamed, eventually put away by a discus lariat from Allison Kay for the 1-2-3. And as I said, this was just very awkward, but they have my sympathy, because there are only a handful of wrestlers, male or female, in the world that can just turn up and have a brilliant match with anybody. They're just that natural at it. The vast majority of the WWE roster, even the people that we think as being very good wrestlers, they are good wrestlers because they're working with that same roster of people week in, week out, all year long, everywhere they go, they are wrestling the same people, the same style. Because the Ring of Honor women's roster is not a touring roster, and ROH isn't, you know, they don't do as many shows as the WWE obviously does, it felt like a match put together by six strangers. Like, they've probably met each other on the independents before, but because they're not wrestling each other week in, week out, it was noticeably disjointed. And I think that problem would probably be much less obvious if they were touring constantly, because they get used to working with each other, know each other's styles, strengths, weaknesses, etc. So they have my sympathy, but this wasn't a great first exposure to the Women of Honor roster. After a quick break, we were treated to Faye Jackson making her way out. This is, in fact, her first ever live pro wrestling match. She's a product of the ROH Dojo. They pointed out that Delirious is the head trainer. I said, that's kind of clashes with the character that shows up on TV as the gibberish talking idiot is somehow the head trainer of the ROH Dojo. But I digress. We had a video of Faye Jackson saying she only started training in January 2015. This is, in fact, her first match, and she's taking on a veteran in ODB. She put over how good ODB was, but then said, you know, don't count me out, I'm here to win. So as we cut back to the arena and ODB made her entrance, she got a good reaction, and consistently got a good reaction all the way through this match. particularly whenever she was drinking from the little hip flush that she carries around. And again, this wasn't a great match. It was, but again, it's understandable. It wasn't great. No one's first wrestling match is ever going to be great. They put Faye Jackson in an enviable position to try and have a good match in her first ever match on TV. That's really harsh for her. So expectations weren't high, and I'm not saying they weren't met, but nothing here blew me away, really. ODB tried her best to work the crowd, but they had to keep this short for obvious reasons. ODB eventually won the match by hitting a Thez press off of the second rope and pinning. I wish Faye Jackson all the luck in the world. I hope this was just, you know, it was an awkward start, but it was always going to be. I hope it's all uphill from here. And I hope in a few years' time we come back and Faye Jackson is just this awesome female wrestler. But yeah, again, not really how I was hoping this would be groundbreaking stuff here. We'd have a really excellent show. Wasn't off to a great start, but thankfully this is the point where things started to pick up. In fact, we got a video at this point where Mandy Leon, who uses the Inside ROH show, she hasn't been doing it for quite a few months now, but and she said, "You know me as the face of Inside ROH, as the interviewer, as the person who asks the questions, but I'm also a wrestler. I've been training with the ROH dojo for quite some time now, and I'm ready to show what I can do in the ring." And they showed footage of a previous Women of Honor's match. It was a tag match, I believe, where she pinned Hanaya, that's how you say that name. Hanaya the Huntress, as Nigel McGuinness pointed out during the next match. She has like a she-wolf, like a wolf head hat that she wears, and she, you know, barks at the moon, etc., etc. And Mandy Leon pinned her in what he's portrayed as kind of an upset, and they showed both women talking about the other one. And it really did set up in a nice short little package this feud. It wasn't, you know, anything amazing or spectacular, but it made you a little bit more invested in this match than you were in the previous two, I feel. And this led to the third match of the night, which was Mandy Leon taking on Hanaya. And they were chain wrestling to begin with, which was unexpected. They had an extended test of strength sequence as well. Just before the break, Mandy got through into the barricade after being slammed onto the apron by Hanaya. The finish came when Mandy Leon locked in a Koji clutch, but Hanaya managed to escape. And shortly after a quick exchange of strikes, Hanaya hit a codebreaker type move to put Leon away. This was, I don't know if it was the best match on the night. It was between this and the main event we're going to talk about next, but this was unexpectedly good. I think we're grading on a scale here, because if this was in comparison to maybe, you know, the elite of the NXT women's roster or what we get in the main roster of WWE, I don't think it would stack up. But it was certainly more enjoyable than the first two, mainly because they showed some really nice athleticism from both women. There was a little bit of character going on, thanks to the pre-match package that we got to see. And there was a surprising amount of intensity, which I wouldn't have thought out of Mandy Leon. I thought of Mandy Leon being your typical, oh, it's a bikini model that they've shown her to throw a head scissors. But no, she showed some believable fire here, and so did Hanaya. And that was really good. That really helped bring the match to life. It wasn't, again, spectacular or anything really verging on great, but he was watchable, certainly. And I'm now convinced more than ever that if Mandy Leon carries on this trajectory, it's only a matter of when, not if, that NXT will come calling, because she really does have a lot of athleticism. She's obviously gorgeous. Both of these women were. I can't imagine NXT will have a complete blind spot for her. It seems, it's like when you look at Moose, it makes sense in your head. The numbers add up and you think, yeah, NXT is going to want somebody like that sooner rather than later. We were then treated to another video package, this time with BJ Whitmer, talking about Kelly Klein, who's kind of was portrayed as being a protege of his. And he talked about her really impressive athletic background, that she was a elite softball player before getting into wrestling. Her father was an elite amateur wrestler, an all-American amateur wrestler. Her sister's this amazing gymnast and all this stuff, and really put her over as being an apex female athlete. Saying that the one line that got me was, he said that when most women are at home making food for their husbands, Kelly Klein is in the ring. I was like, oh, don't use misogyny to put her over, for the love of God. This was followed by Taylor Hendricks, who is Kelly Klein's opponent, talking herself up, saying that she is the woman of honour. This ROH is her house, and saying that she's been doing this for 9 years. She's not about to be upstaged by some athletic upstart that no one's ever heard of. And we then come back to the arena. Taylor Hendricks made her way out with Truth Martini, and BJ Whitmer followed out Kelly Klein as well for a main event of the evening. This was a short match. I checked the time code. We were within 10 minutes of the end of the show by the time the entrances start, so I knew we weren't in for a long match. But even saying that, I think this match was a cut above pretty much all three of the other matches that took place on this show. You could tell that these were two, maybe not experienced. I know Taylor Hendricks is experienced. I can't really speak of how long Kelly Klein's been doing this for, but they just seem more in control. Things seem to flow much better in this match than they did, and especially the first two matches of this show. They really showed Kelly Klein as being this kind of, not Amazonian, she's not China-like, but just dominating Taylor Hendricks for long stretches of this match. The finish came when Taylor Hendricks hit a tombstone pile driver of all things, and Kelly Klein kicked out of that. BJ Whitmer got on the apron to distract Taylor Hendricks for a little bit to allow Klein to recover, and when she did, she hit a chin breaker, which I think the best way to describe it is it's like an atomic drop, but instead of the knee hitting the crotch, it hit Taylor Hendricks in the chin, and then she locked Klein locked in a really deep guillotine, which apparently is called the end of the match. That is the name of the move, is the end of the match. And tapped out Taylor Hendricks, and that was pretty much it. We had a quick plug for Best in the World again, and we were gone. And that was the end of our Women of Honor special. As I said at the top of the show, this wasn't a banner show. This wasn't a fantastic showcase of the women. It wasn't, oh my God, these people need to be on every single show from here on out. But there was potential there, a lot of potential, especially in that main event. There are players here, and more so there are players on the independent scene that ROH really could get hold of relatively easy, I would have thought, because I know how hard it is for women on the independent wrestling scene. They're often having to face in the men. There's not really a call for a you know, you've got Shimmer and that type of company, but it always felt to me like they're struggling to stay afloat, unfortunately, which that means that ROH could therefore, you know, extend the olive branch. Say, we want to showcase these great athletes and these great characters on our TV show, because diversity is excellent, as I opened the show by saying. I really do hope that maybe this show didn't make a great impression on everybody, but I hope it gets a little bit of buzz and people are excited to see these new faces, these new characters, these new women, and then the call to have them on the show more often builds up. I know they taped a lot of matches when Maria Kanellis was still there in hopes of spinning this off as its own TV show. I don't think ROH can't manage to produce one TV show a week successfully. There's no way in hell they're going to be able to do two. So here's hoping that they just find a way to integrate these women more into the show. I really think that's going to benefit just everybody on the ROH roster. It adds that break from seeing the men so often that we have the occasional women's match. They haven't got to have a huge roster. They haven't got to have 20 women at their beck and call, but there's people in there. You could easily build a division around Kelly Klein, who really did look impressive. She's still got a lot of raw talent that needs to be moulded, I think, but she's in the right place to do that. You could easily build Taylor Hendricks as the heel. You've got ODB there, you've got Vader Scott, and a few others that you really could, quite simply with six or eight women, build a great roster that just adds that little bit of spice to the ROH product. It could be so, it's not something that's going to, you know, make ROH the titan that it once was. It's not going to shoot them straight back to the top, but every little helps. It really, really does in this scenario. Right, before we go, one last plug. You are getting me for free this week, you lucky, lucky people, on my 4th anniversary from ProWrestling.net. But I really do hope you like what you hear here, you like what we put out on the free side, and it's tempted you to put aside just $7.50 a month, and you get access to 10 times the amount of content you get on the free side. You get the .net flagship show, .net Weekly. Jason has first-run news on there. He has great guests, including myself. He has interviews as well. Just fantastic content. And you can get a review in audio form of pretty much every single wrestling product that is out there right now. That's TNA, WWE, NXT, The Works, Lucha Underground, everything. Me and Hayden are about to add the Progress Wrestling show to that as well. We're just working out the kinks a little bit. Obviously, Hayden having the technical issues today slowed it down a little bit, but it's on the way, trust me. You also get ad-free access to the website, access to the membership forum, and plenty more besides. So it really is worth checking out. You go to prayerwrestling.net, so the sign-up stuff is right in the top left-hand corner. You can't miss it. Right, that's going to do it for this week. You can find me on Twitter at TheGuttridge. You can go to my website that I'm writing for now, which is felentertainment.com. That's Fel, spelt F-O-U-L, entertainment.com. I've put out my first article this week. It talks about why Jon Snow of Game of Thrones is your favourite character. And it goes into the science behind that. It really is an interesting read. Also, podcasts over there. We did a big E3 review a couple of weeks ago where you can hear me talk about Zelda Breath of the Wild at length. We're also going to have, I watched Independence Day Resurgence last night, so there will be a podcast review out for that shortly, as well as the Warcraft movie. We've recorded that one last week as well. You can follow me on Twitter at TheGuttridge, and I'll fill you in on everything that I'm doing. Hope you enjoyed this show, and we will speak to you next week.